Ah, there's nothing like worshiping the Lord, isn't there? I mean, just a fresh, it's fresh, the fresh presence of the Lord, a fresh release from the throne room of God. Fresh rain from heaven. I mean, I'm telling you. You know, this is where the reality comes in, that the Lord is the only one that can satisfy you. He is our fulfillment. He is our fulfillment. And when discouragement comes in your life, like daily sometimes, if you're disappointed and the enemy's still killing you with regret, you just look to the Lord and say, "You're my fulfillment. You're my fulfillment." And when you acknowledge him in that arena, saying that you're my fulfillment, he fulfills you. He drives out the darkness. He drives out the guilt and shame, the disappointments. He drives it out. Why? You're letting him know that he's your fulfillment. That brings you to a whole nother reality. It moves you out of this false reality and brings you into the true reality, the love of God. And who he truly is. Not the area where Jesus loves you. And I have people used to come up to me and say to me, "Jesus loves you." When I was in the world, man, I wanted to slap them. Because every excuse came to my mind. Yeah, if Jesus loved me so much, why the heck am I going through all this hell? But I didn't realize that all that going through hell was preparing me for a purpose greater than I ever thought of. Hallelujah. Would you grab your swords and go to Matthew chapter 7? Now I can truly say Jesus loves you. Not out of a religious state of being, but out of a pure heart. Jesus loves me. Everyone say that. Jesus loves me. Amen. Glory to God. See, if Jesus loves you, then you don't need to love yourself. The old man. Amen? Because the old is gone, a new is here. And it's the character of Christ who we love. We don't love ourself. Amen? Matthew chapter 7. That's why he said, deny yourself. Come to the end of yourself. Get the shovel out and bury it. Glory. And that's a daily process, isn't it? 7:7. Matthew 7, verse 7. Glory. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is the pathway of to the door. The Bible said, the Lord gave us the word that this will be the year of open doors. So you've got to be one who asks out of a pure heart, one who seeks, and then you'll be led to the door. And that door you knock on. Just make sure you go to the right door. Hallelujah. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks does what? Finds. And to him who knocks, it will be what? Open. Now, would God lead you to the wrong door? No. That's why it doesn't open. Hallelujah. Lord, open the doors that are you and shut the doors that are not. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who what? Ask him. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, he's letting us know that what you sow is what you reap. Don't go out and ask and expect to receive something when you're mistreating people. Amen? When you're holding unforgiveness, when you're holding bitterness. These are all according to the character of Christ. He says, enter by the narrow gate. In other words, there is a narrow pathway. There is a narrow door. This door is not wide open. For wide is the door or the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Why? Because they're not willing to pay the price of asking, seeking, finding. Amen? And going to the right door. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? Few who find it. Ask, seek, knock. Know you are heard when you ask. Seek the direction of the answer. Because you've asked a question, you're there, you're asking. You're going to receive a direction. You will receive the answer to the direction. When you get to the correct door, you knock. You enter through the door because of the resistance of influence. It's difficult. The enemy is not going to just allow you to get to that door. He knows you're asking. He knows you're seeking. He knows that you're waiting for God to direct you to the right place. But there's resistance of the enemy. So we must reach a level of resistance to the enemy. Not from the enemy. Amen? We must be able to resist, reach the resistance from the enemy to you. Amen? Oh, it is difficult. Not many are able to endure. And people fall into that place of compromise, and they give up. They get lazy, and they go through the wide door. They go to the wrong door. Because they believe that the door opened. Some people believe it's of God, and when it wasn't. There's a reason why these things happen. Remember that, and we're going to go through some scriptures here, but you and I are in a battle. We're in a fight. It's a spiritual fight. It's something that cannot be ignored. It's something that must be in front of you all the time. And the reality of, wait a minute, I am in a fight. This is not how I'm supposed to feel. This is not how I'm supposed to think. This is not how I'm supposed to be. This is wrong. This is not what God created me. Why? Because I'm in a fight. I'm in a battle. So something is happening while these things are happening to me and to you. And what the enemy tries to do is bring spiritual erosion. Spiritual what? Erosion. That's the depleting of God's presence, the depleting of thirst and hunger. That's the depleting of him being first. And he does it incognito. All of a sudden you're being eroded and don't know it. You become busy and distracted with all kinds of things except for maintaining that seek. Remember I told you God's favorite game is what? Hide and seek. Yeah, he wants you to seek him. He loves that game. So as you ask and seek, he will bring you. But the whole thing is too many people fall into a place of weariness, discouragement, oppression. They slow down. They get lazy. They compromise. They become what? Lukewarm. That's what's happening. That's why the falling away is. The falling away doesn't mean that they're just saying no to Jesus. That means they're becoming slowly, spiritually eroded. They're in a place of erosion. And that's what the enemy loves to do. Fear will bring you an erosion. Anxiousness will bring you an erosion. Entanglements and affairs of the world will bring you an erosion. not taking time with God, not worshiping God, not crossing over, it will bring you an erosion. You'll lose that fire. You'll lose that hotness. And you'll become lukewarm and even cold. That's why the word tells us that many will become cold in the latter days. Because they've been eroded. They've been spiritually eroded from the presence of God. They become compromising and complacent and lazy. You know what they did? They compromised their routine and no longer maintained it. They created their own routine thinking that was sufficient instead of a routine God blessed them with. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's start at 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. In due time. In due time. In other words, the answer is coming. He's going to direct you to the right door. And the answer sometimes is behind that door, what you need. But you got to be patient. You got to be consistent. Casting your cares upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Be what? Sober. What's that mean? Alert. Be vigilant. That's consistency. That's not someone who compromises. Be sober. Be alert because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. A roaring lion is nothing but a big mouth. Seeking whom he may devour. So we know that the attacks are always in the what? Mind, the thoughts. It says resist him. Do what? Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little bit, that means you've learned, perfect, settle, establish, and settle you, and strengthen you. And to him be the glory forever and ever. Alert and consistent to evil tactics that will wear you out and cause spiritual erosion. You must be aware of these things. Slowly decline of commitment and routine. That's spiritual erosion. One of the areas that you realize that are you're falling into spiritual erosion, of course you don't really realize it, but one of the fruits of it is butt. You're butting everything. But this, but that. You begin to compromise. You begin to make reasons for whatever. You begin to blame instead of taking responsibility. You look for all these excuses. It's beginning a spiritual erosion. You give up too quickly. You're not a fighter. You skip prayer. Skipping prayer is a spiritual erosion, let me tell you. Like I said, you may know you skip prayer one day, 2 days, everybody else knows. Amen? Galatians 6:7, please. Do not be what? Man, I didn't hear everybody say that one. Do not be what? Deceived. I want to make sure. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also what? Reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not what? Grow weary. What's he letting us know? Look at sowing and reaping. You better. Why? Because corruption will wear you out. Let no one grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we don't lose what? Heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are in the household of faith. The law of sowing and reaping. Again, corruption causes weariness and frustration, discouragement, and spiritual erosion. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. And you know what? We all have gone through that. And you listen, I'm not saying you're going to have victory every time, but there's a level that you and I must maintain to overcome it. It's called the master's level. It's called the what? Master's level. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So there's an exchange being made. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since you have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving and abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, or attacks, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? They are eternal. We are hard-pressed. He's saying don't lose heart. Maintain a level of resistance. Our afflictions will work for us in the end. They will help us to combat spiritual erosion. Amen? We must combat spiritual erosion. Again, some of the fruits are justification, reasoning, a love of money. Love of money will cause spiritual erosion. When the Lord was giving me this message, I kept seeing water going down plants and on sides of hills and where there's trees and fruits and gardens. And the erosion of the dirt kept going away and going away. And it was exposing its roots, and the roots were beginning to wither and things were beginning to fall over. And again, the erosion isn't something that's happening fast. It's a gradual. And people don't know that they're in a place of spiritual of erosion. And again, that's where our backsliders fall into. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, let's speak it. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Are we in the last time? Well, it's getting ready to be revealed. In fact, it is being revealed. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you need be, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Listen, you can't rejoice without God's presence. For this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore do what? Gird up the loins of your mind, your thoughts, protect them. Be what? Sober, which means what? Alert. And rest your hope fully upon the plan of God that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not disobedient, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of stay in the what? In the fear of the Lord. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for us, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope is in the Lord and God Almighty. Don't be grieved by many trials or on a daily basis sometimes. We need to maintain a level of resistance and obedience, protecting your thoughts. Protecting your what? Your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the physical realm, the flesh, we do not war according to the physical realm or the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal, but are mighty in God. For what? Pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now, he's not talking about with people. He's talking about in your thoughts. He's talking about these spirits that are trying to drain you and wear you out. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Man, let me tell you something, that the enemy will hound you. He will hound you. He hunts you. He hates you. He'll do everything he can. He'll send every kind of demon against you to drain you, to wear you out. You ever been around somebody that talks so much they drain you out? You want to tell them, shut up. You don't want to hear it no more? That's how the enemy attacks you. Those thoughts puts people across your path that drain you. Put you in a position where you're being drained and weary, confused and frustrated. See, this is where you got to step out of that puddle of affliction. Lift your hands to heaven and ask God for a song of deliverance. Free me, Lord. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. Waiting on God to bring deliverance and healing. That process of waiting brings death to self. I would rather wait than go through the wrong door. Amen? Hallelujah. Casting down resistance, false arguments of the enemy that cause spiritual erosion. They cause spiritual erosion. That's how people come and fall into a place of doubt and unbelief. That's where the word says many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. A demon doesn't carry a doctrine from God. That's why it's called the doctrine of demon. James chapter 1, verse 12, please. Blessed is a man who what? Endures temptation. How many know temptations will wear you down? They'll wear you down. For when he has been approved, he will what? Receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his what? His own desires, and then what? Enticed. Where those desires come from? The enemy. Somebody understand that? Then when a desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every precious gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shed or turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Ooh, his creations. Temptation drains and causes spiritual erosion. Backsliders have not reached the level to overcome erosion, where erosion overcomes them. Amen? Again, it's not something that happens big. It's something that's gradual. And remember, the enemy doesn't come up to you and say, hi, I'm going to tempt you today. I'm going to try and get you drained, and I'm going to erode you and get you into spiritual erosion. He doesn't warn you. He does it automatically. That's his purpose ever since he's fallen from the throne of God. His purpose is to get you to constantly be in a spiritual erosion. So what? You do things out of the flesh and not out of the spirit. Because he knows if you do it out of the flesh, you what? Reap corruption. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59. In verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not what? Shortened, that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sin has hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. That's a result of spiritual erosion. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity. Ooh. These cause erosion. These are fruits of it, aren't they? Amen? Why? Because what the enemy wants to do is erode you from his presence. He wants to erode you from relationship. And he doesn't want you to know it. 2 Timothy 4, in verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. In other words, speak the words of life. Be ready in season and out of season. Why? Because you never know when you're going to be attacked. That means be consistent. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires, which were influenced by the voice of the stranger. Which that means that they didn't overcome temptation. Now they're in a place of spiritual erosion. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful. Say watchful. In all things, endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist, fulfilling your ministry. So again, what happens is people, when they fall into spiritual erosion, they stopped watching. They're no longer watching. They're no longer being alert to that. We need to keep a level of watchfulness. James chapter 1, 21. Therefore what? Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. In other words, spiritual erosion will compromise your identity. You know, so many times people are in a backslidden state of condition. If you ask them, who are you? Well, that's my name. No. Who are you? What's your identity? Is it in Christ or is it in the world now? See, spiritual erosion will bring the identity back to the world, not to Christ. It's a slow process. That's why it's called erosion. Oh, help us, Lord. Verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If any among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father says to visit orphans, widows, and their troubles, and keep yourself unspotted from the world and protecting yourself from spiritual erosion. 2 Peter 2, starting at verse 1. But there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves a swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. In other words, it's going to come. We're watching that right now. These are people that have caused the spirits, the demons that are using these people have called spiritual erosion. Amen? In Matthew 25, verse 1, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. See, the wise, those who carried the wisdom, those who maintained the presence of God, those who were worshipers maintained the oil, the presence of God. They made sure that they maintained a level to resist the devil and stay hot. Amen? They made sure that. Why? Because they didn't want to fall into a place of spiritual erosion. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." You can't give no oil to nobody. Everybody has to pay their own price. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him and to the wedding. And the door was the what? The door was shut. They went into the right door, didn't they? Why? They stayed filled with the Spirit. Afterward, the other virgins came. Now, these virgins were representation of Christians. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." He didn't know him. Why? Because when you maintain a level of resistance, a level of being filled with the Spirit of God, a level of character of Christ Jesus, Jesus knows Jesus. That's how he knows you, because he sees him in you. Nobody else. Your identity is Him. Nobody else. Amen? Well, many of these people became spiritually eroded. They lost their routine. Amen? And I'm going to close at Romans 8, verse 28. Now we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why? Jesus knows Jesus. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. Whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For His love towards us is unconditional. It never stops. So His love is always being radiated to me and you. But the enemy loves to block that love. He likes to cause things in our life so we become weary, discouraged, and sometimes disconnected. And he can only do that through the process of spiritual erosion. It's a slow process. But the end is very bad. Amen? So hopefully in that slow process, people get awake. And they repent and get out of there quickly and get refreshed, renewed, and watered so that the seed of God can grow and bear fruit for His glory. So, Father, we thank You. We honor You. We bless You. You're awesome and true. And, Lord, we repent for any time that any of us has fallen into spiritual erosion. Please keep us hot and on fire and don't let us fall into lukewarmness or coldness where the spiritual erosion brings disaster. So, Lord, we commit it to You. We cast our cares upon You. You establish our thoughts and You make ways. And You open the doors that are of You and shut the doors that are not. But refresh us, even as we sleep, Lord. Refresh us and renew us in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.